What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, so Cliff Schechter is waiting patiently in the green room, but first, we gotta talk. What exactly is it that's keeping you from joining our Patreon page? If you think it's too expensive, and by the way, that's totally fine, I get it, but if $1 a month or $5 a month isn't within your budget, you can always follow our Patreon for free, the same way you can follow a Substack for free. You'll get alerts about new episodes, you can comment under the free episodes, and a whole lot more. You can join the community. Just go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow and follow us for free. Or you can sign up for our bonus content like the Shadow Docket shows and the Friday After Party. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Bob! Bob! Bob!
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, is Wednesday, February 21, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Interview on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,128 of the Biden-Harris administration, 258 days into the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram, The Bob Seska. I'm also on Blue Sky. My Twitter handle is BobSeska_go, and our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. So as I said, it's Cliff Schechter Day again on the podcast. And by the way, Cliff is probably going to post some video clips of our talk on his YouTube channel. I got a link in the description for that. But hold it. Don't nobody move. You're going to get our unedited talk in its entirety right here as usual. Cliff and I talked about the revelations about Alexander Smirnov, the Russian agent who passed disinformation about the president and Hunter Biden to the House Republicans, who accepted it like the Russian goons they are. We also talked about Trump's proposed national abortion ban, Trump's massive debts, Joe Biden's gigantic record of successes, and a whole lot more. Meantime, don't forget to support this podcast by subscribing to us on Patreon, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Okay, here's me and YouTube celebrity Cliff Schechter.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Let's start here. Am I crazy, or should the Smirnov story end the Republican Party? I mean, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. This should be a much bigger fucking deal than kind of what I'm seeing in the mainstream press once again.
You're certainly not crazy. I mean, you may be, but not in this way.
Thank you.
Like, we all need some kind of pills to take to live with the situation. It's insane, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he even has a great name, Smirnov, right? Like, it's already a good brand to be talking about.
That's right.
You know?
This guy's surrounded by Russian intelligence officials who are feeding him disinformation to then feed to the Republican Party. And now it's all out there. The Republican Party either willingly accepted the disinformation or stupidly accepted the disinformation. I think either explanation is equally damning, don't you think?
Of course. I mean, either we've got a couple of fucking morons running things, which we know we do. I mean, James Comer and Jim Jordan are like guys that you kind of feel like should be sitting in a padded room with you know, like, I mean, I always go back to the Ruprecht example, like not have forks to stab in their own eyes, or, you know, maybe not let them near animal feces because they might start playing in it. I don't, they're fucking morons and whatever, but they're obviously people in such bad faith. You know, I read this report and this is going to answer all of these questions. I read this report, I feel like it was in the Financial Times. I need to find it. I tweeted about it earlier. They talked about an analysis that had been done of the EU right before the Russian invasion of Crimea, in the actual few years leading up to it. And it found various transfers of money to EU officials, to officials elected in their own countries, to the EU body, and to reporters. And I'm honestly getting to a point, I mean, look, we all know that either he's just a pathetic, self-loathing loser, which he is, or he's being bought off also, but that Glenn Greenwald is in the tank, right? And Jimmy Dore is in the tank. And we know a bunch of these folks on the left, Tucker Carlson on the right, and I mean, who started on the left, wherever they all are anymore, they're all, they're Putinist apologists at this point. And you know, you like talking about music. My, you know, my kid was at a show. We went and saw U2 at the Sphere, which is amazing, by the way.
Oh, yes, yes, right.
And my son was actually seeing it again, because he's a big rock and roll fan, and those are the special things, you know, when we can do something for him with my wife. And, you know, I got Putin on the brain. Well, it all leads to there. So
yes,
of course. I was going to mention a Putinite in Roger Waters, who is a full-on Putinite at this point. So Bono gets up at this show and, you know, plays a song of peace, one of their songs they hadn't played in like 25, 30 years, and dedicates it to both the Israeli children who died on the day of the attack and to children in Gaza.
Right, right.
Wasn't picking a side. He was just saying how sad it was that all these innocent children dying. And Roger Waters came out and attacked him and said he was pro-Israel and he wants Gaza kids to die and blah, 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 just because he said that. And the reason I bring that up is just because Roger Waters is clearly in the tank for Putin and has been. And you have all these figures like that. And we know these guys, I mean, not that Roger Waters would need to be bought off. He's just a fucking idiot, because if they're not still making money off dark side of the moon, then he's got some serious problems. But they've bought off, I think we're naive, right? And I remember I had Malcolm Nance on my show at one point when I used to do a podcast, some other folks, and I used to say, how can we believe that only Trump has been bought off, right? At that time, Kevin McCarthy had made that comment to Paul Ryan when he thought nobody was listening, that there's two people I think Putin pays, Rohrabacher, you know, who's a congressman, Republican congressman at the time, and Trump. And the fact to only believe it was those two, when Ron Paul, you know, for years, had, in his newsletters or whatever else, had been praising them, said, let them go into Crimea, this and that. Ron Paul's campaign manager, a guy by the name of Jesse Benton, who also managed Rand Paul's campaigns, got arrested. I know this will shock you. And is married into the family. I think he's married to Rand Paul's niece, I want to say. He got arrested for funneling Russian money to Trump and got a sentence for it. Nobody talks about this. We never hear about this. Somebody that close to Rand and Ron Paul and to Trump. Trump pardoned him, of course, because Trump was president at the time. We don't talk about George Santos and the fact that what was his name? Intrader, who was a cousin of Viktor Vekselberg, a Russian oligarch closely tied to Putin, Russian-American, you know, Intrader, so he can get away with donating money. This is the loophole they've used. This is what Obama talked about in the State of the Union when that dumb fuck Alito shook his head about foreign money coming in. And, you know, you've got Viktor Vekselberg there. Santos is supported by tens of thousands, I think 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 Russian money, more than that, right? Mike Johnson, an American-owned company, so they were able to do it, but it is an American-owned. It was an American company, 88% owned by Russians, including, what's the name of the guy? One of these Russian oligarchs. I can't think of his name, and he also happens...
Deripaska?
It wasn't Deripaska. It was another one. I'm trying to... God damn it. I'll find it. But here's the key point. He was also Maria Butina's handler, this guy.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And he helped fund Mike Johnson. I mean, when you start looking at all this stuff, you know, when you say, why isn't this the biggest story? Yeah, because if you look at the context of Donald Trump and Paul Manafort and Gates and that other loser who, you know, was attached to them, I can't remember, Carter or whatever the fuck his name was, and the huge number of the meetings they took in Trump Tower, all the stuff we know from 2016 and on, the bowing before Putin in Helsinki, and all the different ways. But then Rand Paul going and delivering a letter to he's a fucking errand boy for Trump to deliver a letter to them, because clearly Rand Paul, as John McCain once said, and I just did a video about, was the senator for Vladimir Putin. That's what McCain's words, that he was so anti-NATO. We've got Mike Lee and others in that same boat. Mm-hmm. And then you start looking at the ones like Mike Johnson, George Santos, all these people that were bought off. And now you see this, Comer and Jim Jordan literally laundering Russian talking points, and the whole Hunter Biden Burisma thing is all bullshit, but a lot of people have now heard it a million times over and will believe it. Mm-hmm. And you just say to yourself at what point, how is this not the biggest story in the fucking history of civilization?
Seriously.
They're slowly taking over, not even slowly, they've taken over swaths of one of our political parties. They've taken over... the number of think tanks, the NRA, they infiltrated with Maria Butina and loaded up with money. These Christian prayer organizations, you know, family this and that. I don't remember if it's the Research Council, whatever. They've loaded up with money, and they've done it with the far left, with Jill Stein and Tulsi Gabbard and people of that ilk. And now we see them, and we see all these reporters, and I mean, you know, Putin robbed them of all of their resources, right? The aluminum and gas and money's probably all over the world in hundreds of billions of dollars, if not more, mm-hmm. right? He may be the richest man in the world. He's just hidden all of this money. So what would it take to buy yourself a couple of reporters? I mean, we know that you know, Ben Dominic, what's her name, you know, Mr. Meghan McCain, was bought by Malaysia for like $30,000 to write pieces that were supportive of them. That is a fact.
Yep.
I mean, who doesn't think when you see the types like the ones we're talking about, the Glenn Greenwalds, Tucker Carlson probably doesn't need the money, or maybe he just wants it because it makes him feel good, even though he was born into it. But when you see these reporters on the left, ostensibly of the far left and far right, all kowtowing to Putin, and we know that this happened in the EU, does anybody really believe this wouldn't happen here? People that make $75,000, maybe if they're lucky, $100,000, $125,000 a year, which again isn't bad money, but it's not millions. Mm-hmm. We think that, Vladimir Putin finds that in his sofa cushions. So this Smirnoff thing should be the biggest, it should be the biggest story of all time, especially when you bring the context in of like a good portion at this point, I think, of our media, of our whole fucking political establishment is owned by Russia.
That's right.
And they won't talk about it, and the less they talk about it, Bob, the more I'm convinced some of them are bought off at major publications.
Yeah.
Because why would they not? How could they not?
Well, this is basically the Kremlin orchestrating the impeachment of a president. That's what we're talking about here. The Kremlin has overtaken the controlling party of the House of Representatives, which is now attempting to, based on pure disinformation, which has been proved now, they are using that disinformation to have our current president impeached. And that the national security implications of that alone are massive. Now, if this Department of Justice were to do its job and actually investigate how deep the House Republicans are Putin's back pocket.
I'm sorry, I'll just say a few words and then you go right back to you, which is Merrick Garland fucking sucks. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, on top of that, you're going to have an entire Republican establishment who are going to say, oh, here Joe Biden goes again, attacking his political opponents using the Department of Justice. He's weaponizing the Department of Justice against us. Why, oh, why is he doing that? And that's the utter madness of the place we're in with our politics now. And hopefully more voters will see through that nonsense than voters who are fooled by it. And obviously there will be many voters who will be fooled by that level. Well, the Democrats are saying this, but then again, the Republicans are saying they're being persecuted. I mean, Donald Trump believes he's Navalny now. So it's both sides.
For him to even utter that name.
Yeah.
I won't say what, because I'd probably go to prison for what I would do to him.
Right.
To utter that name, the grossness of that fucking, orange whale, blowholing this guy's name out, this hero to democracy. You know, on the 84th or 5th birthday of John Lewis, there are people among us that are saints, right? Mm. I mean, there are people among us, it's kind of like, this is what I believe, if you ask me my true beliefs, that Jesus was. Not somebody who rose from the on Easter. And again, I'm not insulting anybody you have your religious beliefs. But I believe that there are certain people among us that are almost like they're ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. They're better than the rest of us. They're almost like prophets.
Yeah.
They're more evolved. It's like the way you know, sociopaths and others are like evolutionary throwbacks or evolutionary throw forwards, if that could be a phrase. Yeah. And it's when people from history, from Martin Luther King and Jesus, people like that who stood out, I believe, were those kinds of people, okay? And clearly Navalny is one of these kinds of people, the way John Lewis was, and he just gave his life. He had a life in Germany with his wife and his little kid. You know, I don't know, the picture I saw, maybe the kids are older, but man, when I looked at those kids, and I have kids, it just, I mean, I almost wanted to cry. Yeah. Like this man gave every last measure of devotion, every last bit of his life. He chose to go back to Russia.
That's
right. Sorry, I'm getting. And what, I mean, what you know, what more could this man have given? And so the thing that gets me is, and I'm sorry, but that's the perfect segue into this, is in a 2-week period of time, Donald Trump encourages Russia to attack NATO and says they should do it. I'll tell them to do whatever the hell they want, is his exact quote. Mike Johnson, who again got tens of thousands, if not more, in money from a company where the largest shareholder was Maria Butina's handler, refuses and obviously goes down to visit Trump or his Trump's little sycophant, his little clownfish, his little barnacle, refuses to vote on Ukraine aid so that they don't have ammunition and the war is starting to turn in Russia's favor right now because of us. Ukraine can win, but and if we don't think that after Ukraine, which is a horrible enough tragedy, that they're going to look towards Estonia and Latvia and some of these other places, I got news for you. You know, I've talked about from the client work I've done from an American Armenian group where they support Aliyev and going after the Armenians because they want to take back the Caucasus too. They're causing trouble in Africa. They've got mercenaries upending governments, causing, you know, further exacerbating fighting and tensions in places like Sudan, you know, because there's natural gas, there's resources there, and they want the USSR back, and they want to do that. You know, they've been fighting this multi-front war, and I was reading something the other day. You know, that nobody can understand. Remember when there were the money bombs and the all that support online for Ron Paul in 2008? We now know it was Russian bots. It was one of their first operations. I mean, they've been at this now for you know, going on 2 decades, but at least a decade and a half. And you know, and to go back to the Ukraine example again, Trump tells them to attack NATO when he won't defend NATO. Johnson refuses to pass aid to Ukraine to try to hurt them so they can lose this war. Tucker Carlson goes over, he goes on this little happy shopping spree. Yay, look, you know, in the supermarkets, they're beautiful here, it's great. Smell the bread. I mean, it looked like he wanted to hump the bread, for fuck's sake. goes over there and talks about how great things are. It's only $200 a month. Great. I think most Russians make something like $100-something a month.
Yeah, and you know what? Most Russians understand exchange rates as well. They understand the differences between a ruble and a dollar and how those two currencies relate to each other.
Yeah. Tucker, but I'll say one thing, it's always, besides the fact that he's been a failure at everything, writing MSNBC, CNN, Fox, is the one thing that's consistent, he's dumb as fuck. And I don't even know if he knew better, because he's such a stupid fucker.
That's right.
Right? Like, so you add all that up, Tucker, Mike Johnson, Donald Trump, and then Navalny gets killed. You know, I mean, if anybody doesn't think that, like, that
same week,
These were operations, PR operations, to soften American response to what was planned with Navalny. I got, you know, I've got my own yacht to sell you. So I don't. Yeah.
And the thing with NATO is Donald Trump doesn't know anything about NATO. He only knows what Vladimir Putin has told him he should know about NATO. I will wager $1,000 right here that Donald Trump couldn't point to Poland on a goddamn map, much less satellite, former Soviet satellites like Estonia. There's no way he knows anything about this crap. He is being instructed to take this posture. I mean, really, Donald Trump doesn't care about anything other than things that directly affect his personal power and his wealth. So NATO is like this other thing that he's using, that he's going along with to protect his status with the Russians, with Vladimir Putin, who he considers himself to be an apprentice of. Donald Trump wants to be.
He lusts to be. I mean, you can tell Putin, you know, Xi, I always mispronounce his name. I'm
Xi, sure. President Xi, yeah.
God damn it. Yeah. I should be better educated. I apologize to your brilliant guest.
I probably got it wrong too here. So
here's one I know how to pronounce, Erdogan in Turkey.
There you go.
These are the people, Orban in Hungary. He wants to be one of them. He always talks about they're so strong and they control their countries. I mean, he's practically, I don't even want to say what he's practically doing when he's talking about them. He's so in love. And so, you know, the love letters between him and Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's because this is what he aspires to be. And the thing is, NATO is much like democracy in that way, in the way that NATO is an alliance where you give up certain rights, you give up certain things because you're stronger together. And,
right.
and you've come together to say this alliance makes us stronger, it makes the world stronger and safer. And Donald Trump doesn't understand that because Donald Trump wants exactly what Putin wants, the pre-World War II chaotic order where the world was ruled, you know, and even pre-World War I, the world was ruled by empires, mm-hmm. the British Empire, the Austro-Hungarians, the Ottomans. You took what you could. You didn't sort of negotiate. You didn't have people that you owed stuff to. You didn't, you know, who owed you stuff. You just went and you took. And that's the world Donald Trump believes in and Vladimir Putin believes in. And that of course, is the central tension here is Trump's against NATO just because it means you have to sacrifice for other people just to begin with. And then, of course, Vladimir Putin comes to him and says, you know, destroy NATO for me. That's a labor of love for Trump in addition to something that can enrich him and turn him into a dictator. So he's all for it.
Right.
And that's the danger, right, you know, with all of this.
Right. And I want to be clear about the possibility of Alexei Navalny dying and Donald Trump several days earlier saying to Vladimir Putin, do whatever the hell you want, and I will go along with it. In fact, I'll encourage you, which obviously, as we've said, involves encouraging a Russian invasion of Europe, which is essentially World War III, with who Yep. knows whether the United States will, under Donald Trump, come in on the Russian side of this, that we will be the equivalent of one of the Axis powers in this scenario. But on top of that,
it leads to a nuclear war no matter what, because yeah. France has them, United Kingdom has them, Israel has them. And in the end, if Russia starts pushing in there to NATO territory, even if we're on the wrong side because Donald Trump is elected, somebody will respond.
Yeah.
And they'll respond with nuclear weapons. And we'll be looking at a nuclear World War III.
Right. And now the big excuse is, why should we defend them? I mean, we've got this great ocean between us. We don't need to be involved in NATO anymore. We've got the Atlantic Ocean, which the great irony of that is the Atlantic Ocean didn't protect us on September 11th, after which the very first time Article 5 of the NATO Charter was invoked, where all the NATO signatories...
I was going to bring that up, and yeah. you got there before me. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I mean, all the NATO signatories rushed to our aid. No one was saying, why didn't the United States defend itself? Why didn't the United yep. States stop this terrorist attack or series of terrorist attacks before it happened? They should have done this, and they didn't, so therefore we're not going to support them. No one was saying that. Everyone who is involved in NATO supplied something to that war effort, pledged their support to the United States.
But as a contrast, you've got that day, as you said, Article 5 the NATO comes out and says, the United States, this is an attack like any other. Doesn't matter if they used our airplanes or whatever. This is an attack, and we will defend the United States. We will get involved. That is the selfless act of the NATO members that day.
Yeah.
That very same day, Donald Trump went on the news and said, now I have the tallest building in New York. That was his response.
Right.
To the so just, again, when you want to know who we're dealing with here, mm-hmm. one group of people were like, oh my God, this is war, this is horrible, we need to do what's necessary to protect, you know, NATO and the world order, whatever. The other side of it is this jack-off whose response was, hey, my building's the tallest now. I mean, that's the difference.
But Jesus.
No, but you have to laugh, because, I mean, he's such a fucking... I mean, that's what we're dealing with. And people mm-hmm. are... Again, that's what the media is trying to normalize, this fucking sociopath, this chaos agent, this guy that wants to destroy, this person we know is responsible according to numerous studies now, for 40% of the deaths from COVID that were preventable. I mean, well, I don't even know where the count is at this point, but, you know, during his presidency, certainly it was something like a million, 1.1, 2. I don't remember what the hell it was. Imagine hundreds of thousands of people not dead because this guy did his fucking job.
Yeah, right, you know? I mean,
We've been through it. We've already suffered because this guy was elected one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why, like, I loathe so many people in the media, and I will be, you know, the gloves, if you think the gloves are off now, if they keep reporting the way they're reporting, I'm just going to start calling out individuals by name.
Yeah.
And I know some of these fuckers because I went to school with some of them at the New York Times and places like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not letting them fucking sleepwalk us into World War III or into, a time where we're controlled by Russia. Anybody who thinks, ooh, a big ocean protects us. Well, you got what you got, as you said, on 9/11. But, you know, there's chemical weapons, biological weapons, nuclear weapons. There's cyber war where we can have power grids shut down to the point of where cities go dark. There's a lot of things that, sorry, folks, cross the ocean.
Yeah, exactly, and, right. Yep.
We need to be actually paying attention to what is going on in other parts of the world, even if you're a selfish asshole and don't care about actually helping people and don't care about the fact that the point behind NATO is to prevent war and to provide self-determination and hope that more countries will be free, more people will be free and fed and have peace. Even if you're an asshole who doesn't care at all about that, it is better for us, selfishly, if we are involved in NATO.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, going back to what you were saying about the press, we talked about this on my Tuesday show this week and on Meet the Press on Sunday. I think, and I'm going to botch her name, the pronunciation of her name, Mara Liasson. Liasson? Mara Liasson.
Sweet. I screwed up your name and you did too. Now I feel better.
Yeah. Well, I've been corrected already and I still can't get it right. But suffice to say,
I think it's Mara Liasson.
Mara Liasson. Yeah, I think that's it. Anyway, she was saying that Donald Trump, because he supports the 16-week national abortion ban, is pivoting to being centrist. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This is why I say on Twitter today that I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. It's back to that old trope, Cliff, from, 2016, 2017? Oh, finally, Donald Trump's pivoting to being presidential, which he never does. He never pivots. He will never be presidential. He will never be moderate. He will never be centrist. Why are they framing? Why is Meet the Press framing a 16-week national abortion ban as the moderate position?
Well, also, let's start. I mean, there's two issues there. One, again, as you said, the pretending that Donald Trump has the capability to behave emotionally like an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I can make every joke in the world about, hey, look, he poops his diaper, which I do all the time. I'll be honest with you.
Sure.
But beyond all of that kind of stuff, he's never emotionally been an adult. He never went through a stage of development like people are supposed to, where they understand the world around them. They understand that other people have lives, needs, this and that. Mm-hmm. You know, he is obviously clinically a narcissist, probably a sociopath, and God knows how many other, he's the entire book of disorders, the DSM that they have.
Probably has
half the damn things in there. He can't he can't function as a normal human. He doesn't know how. He's never known how. So to think that he could pivot, you know, besides maybe once in a while being smart enough to listen to somebody who's around him who tells him to do something because it'll fool people, he might do something like that. But to think that he ever could truly change in any way is so fucking laughable now. You have to be such a dumb asshole to even say that. Second of all, we've beyond just the issue of Donald Trump, we've got the issue of abortion. And that's the thing that is, you know, the scary thing here is that they're going to allow him to portray himself as a moderate. We know if you look at the exit polls, not bullshit polls that aren't, you know, don't bear anything out, that Nate Silver sits around and masturbates to. Sorry, I hate that fucking guy too. Who's become Glenn Greenwald with glasses, basically. Mm-hmm. Wait, Glenn Greenwald has glasses.
Okay, I don't know.
Just another dorky Glenn Greenwald.
I know what you mean.
You know, like just trying to get engagement from saying stupid shit online.
Yeah.
I mean, the poll in New York 3 showed Swazi and Philip about tied. He was up like a point or two. He won by 8. Like, these polls are undercounting Democrats, and part of the reason they're doing that is, first of all, they're not counting the fact that as time has gone on and the Republican Party, the Kinzingers and Cheneys and now Romneys and whatever have left and been replaced by complete batshit fucking lunatics. And there have been civil wars in these parties here in Ohio between the right-wing nuts and the few, you know, decent people left. The same thing happened in Michigan where they elected that woman as the head of the party who believes in, like, sexually transmitted demons and threatened to kill her own family.
That's right.
A good person to have. I mean, you know, and so, of course, shockingly, she did a terrible job. They ousted her, and now she's like, she's running her own Republican Party in exile, I think still getting some of the crazies to give her money. So there's a split there. They're fighting amongst themselves because this is like Lord of the Flies. They're fucking children emotionally. These are people that are not developed. I think, you know, I ever had you on his show, Matt McNeil is a friend of mine, great guy, who hosts the Chicago and Minneapolis Drive Time radio. And he did something, we put it up on my YouTube channel, like a guest video. It was a video he did on you know, when he was on radio, but he does video too. And it was just about explaining how, you know, in the district that Lauren Boebert has now moved to, using that as a jumping off point, that there were about 7 of them sitting there at this in this primary debate. And the moderator asked how many of them had been arrested before, had gone to prison. And like 5 of them raised their hands. 5 of 7 who are running, because they're not just not the Law and Order Party anymore. They're a party of fucking criminals. Remember what I said on that thing versus Cleta Mitchell? You're a party of criminals and pedophiles now?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
You know, like, sorry to go back to that, but I mean, they are a party of people that you know, nonstop. I mean, you can go through the list of them. Mm-hmm. The trouble, Matt Gaetz being investigated now, right? And the one that's leaving, that one from Arizona, like went on a Bonnie and Clyde thing with her husband, I can't think of her name right now, and then denied, said it was all her husband forcing her to do it. They elected her. She had numerous crimes against her, forging checks. And I mean, this is not only not a disqualification, it's a positive.
Yeah.
Like the Republican Party, you know, the whole cruelty is the point. Cruelty, incompetence, corruption, all of it, like that's what they're looking for. Because
mm-hmm.
that's how Fox and the rest of them have trained their base. The people that turn out in those elections and nominate and do all that stuff are looking for the worst among us. That's how they decide you're worth it. Have you been cruel enough? Have you been stupid enough? Have you rejected modernity enough? Have you done all of this? And if you have, then they're like, you're our guy or you're our gal. And the thing is, shockingly, with the exception of very red states and with the exception of very red districts, this doesn't play very well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you nominate a Mozzie Philip, whatever her name is, against Tom Suozzi in a district that's maybe +1 Democratic and that George Santos won by 7 points, we win by 8, you know, a 15, 16 point switch there. Why? Because they nominate somebody who lied and said she was in the IDF and lied and said all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
Because these are the things, these are the types of people Republicans nominate and put forward now. So, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, we should, in the end, if the media would tell any kind of truth, would give any kind of context to who these people are, we probably would win a 35 state presidential victory. We would lose maybe a few, you know, the whitest deep south states and border states and you know, what I like to call the Mormon belt, you know, Utah, Wyoming, whatever.
Yeah.
We'd win everything else. And every district that goes up to 7 or 8 points Republican, because guess what? That's what the Dobbs effect has shown.
Mm-hmm.
That there's been a 7-point tilt towards Democrats more since Dobbs. You know, whether it's Dobbs, it's the attacks on democracy, added all up. But there's a lot. I know you've probably had Rachel Bitterkoffer on here. She's talking about this. There are a shit ton, and I know some of these people, of suburban Republicans voted for McCain, voted for Romney, you know, those types of folks who are scared out of their minds of Trump at this point. They'd be willing to vote for someone like Nikki Haley. I don't agree with them. I think they're wrong on a lot of stuff. But, you know, those are those 43% of Nikki Haley voters in Iowa who said if Haley was not the nominee, they're going to vote for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
They are leaving MAGA in droves.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because they're not even getting the proper information.
Right.
They just, and luckily their eyes won't lie to them when they see this guy acting like a lunatic, like dry humping an American flag on TV. They're like, maybe he's not fit to be president. You know, I mean, so that's what we've got going on. And that's what's happening in these polls. And you know, is we're seeing it from the exit polls. But yet the media will let Trump get away with it. Now, luckily, as I said, most people will get it. because he's also bragged that he ended Roe. Yeah. He's bragged a number of times about that. He said that women should be punished for having abortions. So he's going to try to run away from that now. But I promise you, the media will try to let him get away with saying his position, it makes him a moderate, as you said. It's just such utter bullshit.
Okay, short break. Back with more Cliff Schechter right after these words.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
You gotta pay your bills.
You gotta pay, or I got a baseball bat over here. Smash. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, who the hell is this guy? By the way, please see E. Jean Carroll about making a payment. Please see every contractor that ever worked on any of your casinos in Atlantic City. Please see any lawyer who ever lawyered for you because then you stiffed them. How dare he sit there and you got to pay. You got to, because he likes sounding like a mob boss and his people like him sounding like a mob boss. But the crazy part is he ain't no mob boss. He's running to be president of the United States and his main job would be foreign policy. His main job would be national security. And this is a guy who really isn't in. I mean, he's just dumb. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska.
Why do you think so many liberals are taking the polling seriously and not recognizing the fact that every time there's a special election or even going back to the midterms, the Democrats are vastly outperforming the polls? And yet there are Democrats who are going, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to drop Joe Biden because these polls are showing that the American people think he's too old to be president. Which, by the way, the second question after that poll question should be, but will you vote for him anyway? And they're not asking that question. But there are Democrats who are taking that first question, I think, way too seriously without considering the possibility of what the answer would be to the second question that isn't getting asked. Do you know what I mean? That's a little confusing way to describe it. But yeah,
there's an ideal world and there's the world we live in. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, in an ideal world, I'm not going to deny it. Like, I would like our nominee to be younger than Biden is. I would like most of them.
Sure.
I've said this before when it came to certain, you know, leaders in our congressional wing that I thought they'd done an amazing job and they're incredible. Nancy Pelosi would be on any Mount Rushmore of all-time greatest legislators.
Absolutely.
But there is a point where you've got to go to the next generation, and partially that's not an issue of, like, you're slowing down. It's an issue of the next generation, Gen X on down. Like, we're not in some crouch scared of Ronald Reagan and thinking that it's still the Reagan party and they've got the popular, they've got the funny, charismatic president, and they've got the popular positions are on their side. Like, I was at most in my teens during any of the Reagan years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't even paying close attention to politics what I've seen ever since is, you know, when I first really got into it was when I worked in college for Bill Clinton's election in 92. And I've seen us kicking their asses in pretty much every popular vote since then.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen us with huge victories. I've seen the midterm we pulled out this year, which was unprecedented, like fucking unprecedented. OK,
seriously.
We picked up five state legislative chambers. No president, no party of a president in power had done that since FDR.
Right.
All right. Like things like that. And so it is. I wish liberals would just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. These polls are just propaganda like everything else that's out there. They're noise. They're bullshit. It doesn't matter. So if you were to ask me in one of those polls, I'd say, yes, I would prefer that we had a 50-something running. I think we've got a fantastic crop of even a 60-something, of 60-something, 50-something, and 40-something Xers and millennials who are ready to take over the party. But right now, at this moment, Joe Biden kicked Donald Trump's ass last time, going against everything. He beat incumbency, he beat the fucking Russian op, he beat all of that stuff, and he won. And he won in, you know, states I know, because guess what? I was writing ads for him. You know, I know what our top targets were, and we actually even lost one or two of those, Florida and North Carolina. But Georgia was a second-tier target for us.
Yeah.
And guess what? We won it. Arizona was a top-tier target, but we hadn't won that since Clinton won it, I think, in 96, and we won it. You know, we won the electoral vote in Nebraska, right? Like we, the, you know, because they do their votes separately by congressional district in Nebraska and Maine. I'm just, you know, they give you the overall for the Senate ones. I don't want to get into bore people, but you could, they split them up how they hand them out.
Point being,
and that's a very suburban district, the one around Omaha, Nebraska. The point being that Biden beat the crap out of him last time. Honestly, they just rated him, I think, 12th best president or something of all time in this historical, you know, analysis. Shocking.
Yeah.
Gee, who was ranked last?
Right. Donald Trump. And by the way, Republicans and conservatives ranked Donald Trump at, like, I think 43. So this isn't just Democrats and independents saying that Donald Trump sucks. Even Republicans who are part of this project, the Presidential Greatness Project, are saying, oh, yeah, yeah, 43, 41, somewhere down at the bottom of the list. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, that guy's a total fuck nut. Right. You know, they're like, have you seen him? I mean, sometimes the orange looks brown. In any case.
I know.
Okay.
God, it's disgusting.
So he's fucking repulsive. In any case, we've got that, and I will say for a second, I'm sorry if some of these historians, though, and I'm sure it's because some of them are conservative and biased or whatever, but George W. Bush landing at 32, sorry. I mean, George W. Bush, you can make an argument that Andrew Johnson was worse, and that James Buchanan was worse, and maybe even Pierce, who, by the way, was Barbara's original name because she came from the Pierce family.
Oh, that's
so the
right.
Bushes have had a whole bunch of the worst presidents. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Is George W. Bush writing, like, thank you notes to Donald Trump and saying, hey, you know what, thanks so much for making me look so much better?
Because, honestly, I did everything but AVD for political history. I'm a geek in this stuff. I studied this stuff, and if you look at every single one of them, there's no way you could make an argument for Bush getting anywhere, in my opinion, above 38th of the 45 or so. And he probably should be 40th or below. I think William Henry Harrison, who just got up, got pneumonia during his speech and died 3 months later, did a better job than Bush. But you know what's funny is that William Henry Harrison is ranked above Trump and Johnson and a few of them, and he was dead.
Amazing.
He was in a coma or dead the whole time he was president, and that's better than the job Trump did. So that should tell you something. In any case,
yeah.
To get back to the point, Joe Biden kicked his ass in that election. Joe Biden was a uniter, and then they made up all this shit and went after him and lied because they're really good at that. And now we know a Russian op with Hunter and all that. But he's very a good, likable guy, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on top of all of that, honestly, I dare you to find, not you being you, Bob, but anybody,
sure,
to find me a better legislative and economic record of any president in, almost the last century.
That's right.
I mean, everything from, and some of them were bipartisan, like we needed to do a lot more on guns, but the fact that he passed a smart gun safety bill that actually closed a number of dangerous loopholes and got Republicans to vote for it. The fact that he passed an infrastructure bill that is part of why our economy is fucking booming right now. The stock market's higher than it's ever been. Low unemployment's as low as it's ever been. Inflation's way down. I mean, our economy is freaking booming. He's passed legislation around numerous other issues. He's gotten stuff done that for a generation Democrats wanted to get done and couldn't get done. I'm thinking about here the bulk negotiation of drugs under Medicare that has lowered the price of prescription drugs by 30-40% often more for seniors. I mean, The list, you know, the COVID bill, which no Republicans would support him on, that got shots in arms and money out there, whatever, and brought our economy back. The Inflation Reduction Act, which put more funds into the green energy and climate change mitigation measures than has ever been done in this country before.
That's right.
And I could go on and on and on. His legislative record, amazing. His economic record, amazing. His foreign policy record, pretty fucking amazing, too.
Yeah.
You know, the media turned on him after Afghanistan. Guess what? We shouldn't have been there 18 years. We shouldn't have been there 18 months. Mm-hmm. It was another George W. Bush fuck up. Hi, this asshole took down buildings, is a vicious, amoral terrorist motherfucker. Sorry, I was there that day and saw the second plane hit. We knew we lost somebody, a friend's son of my mom. So
yeah.
No, you're not gonna find I'm the slightest sympathy. I hope wherever Osama bin Laden is, he's fucking still suffering.
Yeah.
And you know, but now I lost my train of thought, of course.
Oh, you were going through Joe Biden's record so far, which has been incredible. But you know what, Cliff, I hate to say it, but you know,
shouldn't have been in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
The response to that should have been basically army, you know, like, and I'm not claiming to be a military genius, but special forces, SEALs, Rangers, people like that going in, you know, killing whatever Taliban members or capturing were providing protection for him and his guys, getting Al-Qaeda, killing or capturing them all, and getting the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
That, it should have been very simple. And of course, we all know when Bush was like, hey, let's go to Iraq and, you know, Tora Bora, and he got away, and we ended up staying there. We should have never been there 18 years or whatever it was, but thankfully, Biden got us out of our longest war. Did it all go smoothly initially? No, nothing. You pulling out of a war? You ever seen those pictures from Vietnam? Mm-hmm. But the media, oh my God, he's terrible. He's whatever. He did as good a job as you can do. He's been, NATO apparently looks up to him like a father figure. They love him. He's been a uniter there. I mean, he's done a number of terrific things internationally, you know, and I'm sorry, and this may piss some people off, and I don't really care. I think he's taken exactly the right course when it comes to Israel and the situation there, too, which is to be supportive of Israel, who was attacked in a medieval and sick way, but also to be critical of Israel, to not be supportive of Bibi Netanyahu, who is a war criminal,
right,
and be critical of Israel for how they're carrying out this war, which sadly, like having Trump here during COVID, they have Netanyahu in office during this. If they had a labor leader or somebody decent in Israel, maybe this would have been handled in a completely different way. They have their Trump in office. Mm-hmm. But he's tried to push Israel to be safer about what they do, to bomb less. I mean, all these people are acting like Biden can snap his fingers and Israel is going to stop. That's not the way this works.
Yeah.
He's handled it so far, so much better. I'd love to see the reactions of these same people if Trump were in office. Trump would be basically like, why don't you nuke Gaza?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not making excuses.
Trump couldn't point to Gaza on a map. Once again, I'll bet another $1,000 if Donald Trump can point successfully to Gaza on a world map. I bet you he cannot.
And Gazan children dying is awful, and I'm not saying any of that. I think Israel had the right to defend themselves, and how they've done it at this point, I'm no longer supporting.
Yeah.
And I was initially.
Right.
But, I mean, attacking infrastructure, I mean, it has to be done in a way where you're sticking to going after the guys that did this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two, you know, and trying to keep civilians safe. And I'm not saying, if I'm clear, I don't support a ceasefire without everybody being given back.
Right.
But at the same time, I would not be bombing the kind of infrastructure they're doing. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, did you notice
it's a tough issue, and I'm sorry, but you know, like, I think I feel like I have to go to detail here because, you know, I'm sure there'll already be some people in the comments who'll be calling me a baby killer or something. I mean, these are delicate issues and getting them just right. And Ukraine, defending Ukraine, I think Biden, frankly, I wish you were had been a little tougher and sent them more initially, immediately, but that's Donald Trump would be like, Russia, come on in, is who you're putting him up against. I'd say foreign policy, he probably gets a B+ or something like that, gets A's on everything else. There just hasn't been somebody who's performed better overall. Yeah. There just hasn't.
Well, did you hear yesterday?
In a long time, anyhow.
Yeah, I think at a rally, it was yesterday or maybe the day before, Donald Trump pledged that he would deport anyone who is a Hamas sympathizer. inside the United States. So basically what we're talking about is some form, obviously, of ethnic cleansing that Donald Trump is going to engage in. But at the same time, he's going after people's ideology. I mean, and deporting them.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody says, I believe in a ceasefire, and what I'm saying right now is I don't believe in a full ceasefire until every hostage is returned, because that's the state they were in before the attack. They had a ceasefire.
Right.
But I respect people who say, I don't think that's a crazy view to have, to say we should have a full ceasefire right now. Mm-hmm. And guess what? For having that view, you'll probably be called a Hamas sympathizer by Donald Trump, and you'll be, excuse me, thrown out of our country. So if that's what you're looking for, Trump's your guy.
Right, right. Well, on top of everything else, Cliff, and in addition to Project 2025, which I think we've talked about here quite a bit, that stacking the federal government with loyalists, putting the Department of Justice under the direct control of the White House, there's this other group, this other think tank called the Center for Renewing America. And they're planning to
They always have great names like that, don't they?
Yeah, I know. But this is like the...
Healthy Forest.
That's right. This is a Christian nationalist think tank. And they want to have Trump end surrogacy, like pregnancy surrogacy. They want to end no-fault divorce. They want to invoke the Insurrection Act to stop protests. They want to end sex education in schools. They want to stop policies that subsidize single motherhood. But of course, Cliff, Joe Biden said Mexico instead of Egypt, so, you know, why not?
Yeah, right. We better all freak out. I mean, the other guy is up there fucking thinking Nikki Haley's in charge of Capitol Security and thinks that we won, like, thinking that we won World War II from fucking Fort Ticonderoga. But, you know, sure. Yeah. Like it's Biden who's got the issue. I mean, yeah, that group. Well, again, when Biden has said, I don't know if you saw that reporter on CNN the other day. It was amazing. When she was quoting the Biden people, but she forgot to say she was quoting the Biden people, and she actually said the word.
Oh, yeah.
She went on MJ Lee, I think it is. She went on, and she was like, and the Biden people say they're going to be highlighting a lot more of the crazy shit Donald Trump says. It was like, if CNN, if you did that every day, I would be an avid viewer, okay? If you would switch to that coverage and just say the truth and say it that way, like, you'd have me. She had me at hello or crazy shit, whichever way you want to look at it. But
right.
The point being is that Biden has said he's going to do this, but I don't think it can just be the crazy shit Trump says, right? Mm-hmm. Because people obviously are freaked about Dobbs and they're freaked about the attack on democracy. This group is close to Trump. Highlight every fucking thing they say too.
Yeah.
No fault divorce, single motherhood. I mean, single motherhood, like, what do they want then? You can't have an abortion, so you have the child, and then do we just off you? Like, I'm not, what is it that they think, what is the third option I'm missing here? Because I can only think of two options. I guess you're forced to give up your child for divorce. Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be for adoption. That could be the third option. Wow, well, that's not totalitarian at all.
Right.
That's not Handmaid's Tale at all. That's really modern democracy stuff, because those are your only options. Abortion, single motherhood, if you're a mother who does not have a partner, or you're forced to give the child up for adoption. So maybe that's what they're not saying.
Yeah.
Because if they won't support you as a single mother and they won't allow you to get an abortion, the only thing I can think of they can do is force you to give your child up.
Which, right, right. The Republican Party doesn't want women to have abortions in pregnancies that they don't want. But then they also want to prevent women from getting pregnant in the first place using IVF as a possible solution for infertility. So it's like, no, you can't have a baby. And by the way, if you don't want to have a baby, we're going to force you to have that baby. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. But
if you practice the rhythm method, you'll have a boy. And if you, I mean, like, we'll give you, if you start to feel unwell, we'll cut you and give you a good bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean, their medicine is what, 16th century, 17th? Is this where their belief system comes from?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they think there's witches involved somewhere, too. And
yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, Michael Knowles, one of the Daily Wire podcasters under the Ben Shapiro umbrella, He has said he doesn't want to go back to the 1950s. He wants to go back to the 1650s. I mean, this is a mission statement of the extremist far right, the people who are circulating Donald Trump and influencing Donald Trump.
And that's where Leo, by the way, got some of his opinions quite seriously. Yeah. Like, this isn't a joke. Mm-hmm. For the Dobbs decision, right? He was quoting a 17th century Christian philosopher, and it turned out he was a guy who thought abortion was terrible, blah, blah, blah. He also was somebody who believed marital rape was completely acceptable. Yeah. So there's something else for you should get used to, which is if you're married and Trump's friends here take over, I'm sure marital rape is not rape.
Mm-hmm.
There was one Ohio legislator, one right-wing Republican nut, when they took a vote here on whether you could have rape in marriage, and he voted no. And somebody followed after him to talk to him afterwards, and he was just like, sorry. I'm trying to remember some of the stupid shit he said. But basically, that's their view. Some of them still hold that. I mean, they want to turn the clock back on all of this stuff. And if you are, you know, anything but white, straight, Christian, conservative, male, whatever, you go to the back of the, bus, quite literally, or you're in line in the pecking order, you listen to what your betters tell you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's
right.
How it works.
Yeah. And one more thing before I let you go, Cliff. Trump has to pay New York $500 million and rising, by the way, by the day with interest.
Fix some infrastructure. The FDR drive get worked on. I like it.
Exactly. Plus another $83 million to E. Jean Carroll, plus potentially $100 million to the Internal Revenue Service because of this ongoing audit. And then there are several pending lawsuits in D.C. related to January 6th against Donald Trump specifically. How dangerous, Cliff, is it to elect this a-hole president when he's so heavily in debt? He's so heavily leveraged. I mean, I hope the press is going to cover this story. I'm not holding my breath. Keeping an eye on how exactly Donald Trump is going to get this money. And when he gets the money, where did it come from? And will this endlessly compromise him as a would-be president of the United States? You know what I mean?
Maybe we can get like Taylor Swift to take some charity on him, give him like a long-term loan.
Yeah, well, Elon Musk just... Elon Musk was just at Mar-a-Lago visiting with Trump. So who knows whether Elon's going to lend him money.
He's got money too, even though at the rate he's bleeding it away on Twitter, I think his thing he paid $42 billion for is now worth 14.
Yeah.
So I'm not a genius at math, but that seems like a lot less. So I don't know if he'll still, with his rockets blowing up and his Tesla, like truck, looking like some rusty old truck they pulled out of like Mad Max Fury Road or some shit. I'm not really sure that's going to be that he may be worth a lot less soon. I think Taylor Swift has more upward mobility. I'd rely more on her for the money than.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, like this was the problem when he was elected last time is Donald Trump, of course. First of all, he doesn't know how to read a balance sheet, but even if he doesn't know how to tell the truth.
Yeah.
So he would always tell you and he'd lie and exaggerate, but even if he told you, he'd always be speaking about his assets and forgetting, oh, that's right, the hundreds of millions or billions in debt.
Yeah.
Like, let's forget about that. Well, now you add, so he always, even when he was president last time, there were debts, and that's what he was partially using the presidency for, a piggy bank, right? Yeah. Like, oh my God, look, the whole top floor of my hotel is rented out by the Saudis. They must just want a lot of room. Yeah. I'm sure there's nothing there they're trying to get, or the Chinese, so that's what he used it for last time around, but now he's gonna need it even more. Yeah. And you're right, because we're talking about what? Towards $1 billion or whatever it is that he's gonna owe in these judgments on top of all the money he already owes banks that he hasn't paid off. I mean, if there's going to be ever a man more desperate for Vladimir Putin in goddammit, Xi, did I say it right?
Xi, President Xi. Xi.
I said Xi, I got it. Awesome.
Xi, like almost a J sound. Xi, President Xi with a big, beautiful chocolate cake. Yeah, that's how it is.
See, I learned here, folks. Like, you can learn during Bob Seska's podcast. I learned stuff. Putin and Xi and some of the other ones that have these other dictators that have a ton of money. Oh, MBS over in Saudi Arabia, Qatar. Mm-hmm. I mean, the market's open, folks, if Trump gets reelected. I mean, what are you willing to give for what you want?
Right.
You want a port given to you somewhere? Do you want an attack on a third party, on a country? Hey, it's going to cost you. You just got to go to Trump and see if you can negotiate a deal. He's exactly. a deal maker, after all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so deeply compromised. Yeah, and the latest ridiculousness from not only Donald Trump, but Jonathan Turley, who's been defending Donald Trump breathlessly lately.
Another one, by the way,
yeah,
if not by Russia, by the right.
Yeah.
You may remember, he used to have center-left opinions on Overman's show, completely bought off.
I mean, bought off.
Oh, look, here's
easily.
This endowed chair
yeah.
at George Mason University, which is loaded with Koch brother money.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows George Mason knows it's essentially
I used to do a radio show there. I used to do a college radio show at George Mason, yeah.
Well, it's a playground for Koch money, Koch brother money, and the rest. Oh, he magically gets an endowed chair there, and God knows how much money he gets loaded up with.
Mm-hmm.
And he just also suddenly changes his opinions and becomes a right-wing Trumper. Totally, totally believable. But go ahead.
Well,
tell us the brilliance of Jonathan Turley.
Well, both Turley and Trump are making the argument that the Engoron judgment is a violation of Trump's constitutional rights against excessive fines. Right. So let's do a little bit of math here, Cliff. Trump claims to be worth what's his net worth? He says $9 billion. Like, he's a nine billionaire, right? So if true, he could pay the penalties and interest in full and still have or still be worth $8.5 billion. I mean, he could also pay, on top of that, he could also pay Jonathan Turley $1 billion for peddling Trump's bullshit, and he'd still be worth $7.5 billion. Such a hardship, so excessive, isn't it?
It really is. I think when Trump hears the term net worth, he thinks it's just worth jumping in a net because he doesn't really understand.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get the net part of
doesn't
that
understand.
Equation, which is,
yeah.
you see, you got to erase the debts
mm-hmm.
from the assets.
Yeah.
Well,
and then plus, by the way, he's been saying that he's actually been devaluing his assets on financial statements. And I hope the IRS is paying attention to that shit. Because if that
right.
was anyone
that
else,
comes up next.
Yeah. I mean, if that was anyone
he
else,
committed fraud on both ends, right?
Right.
I
oh,
mean,
God, yes. I mean, yeah, I mean, the IRS would be up in your business so quickly if you went online and said, yes, I've been intentionally devaluing my assets on financial statements. They're like, huh, what? I mean, this could be part of what could end up being a $100 million judgment against Donald Trump just from the Internal Revenue Service alone. God
I'm sure it will
damn
be.
It.
And then there'll be more.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there's other women have been inspired by E. Jean Carroll. They may come forth and go after him and rape him because he said nasty things about a number of them and said that they were lying.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way to do it. Just the way, you know, I mean, it's horrible that any of this stuff happened to these people. But the way you strike back in many ways is use our court system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at these voting machine companies and what they've done to Fox. You know, I wish many more people that are not public figures, we've got that exception. I don't think we should. If you fabricate stuff to me that causes threats to somebody, I think, I don't care if they're a public figure, but that's an argument for another time. That's more the United Kingdom system. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, there are plenty of non-public people they've chosen to go off on.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rich's family threatened them and they ended up having to pay them off. I wish every single one, every time they go after somebody who doesn't have a big or any public platform that they would sue them.
Yeah, exactly.
I really do.
Yeah. And here's something to motivate everyone to make sure that we destroy Donald Trump in this election. If he loses in November, imagine all of these lawsuits and criminal cases moving forward unfettered. I'm talking about the ones that he's not convicted of prior to the election. Anything that happens after November and Donald Trump is the loser in that election, it is going to be the entire justice system is going to take a gigantic crap on Donald Trump's head, even more so than they already are.
I shut down the FAA and all flights that night, maybe for the next week, because he's going to live in a palace in Saudi Arabia like Idi Amin did in his final days. I promise you, if he loses that election, they're loading up everything they can carry, all the stolen secrets in his shitter in Mar-a-Lago, if there are any left there, or in weird closets there. He's grabbing, like, you know, whatever other crap he can, you know, furniture off the floor of Mar-a-Lago, of the bedbug Mar-a-Lago, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
And he's just going to get on, you know, whatever crappy old airplane he can, probably some Soviet era. By then, like, Soviet era fighter, who cares? Point is he's headed to Saudi Arabia to try to live his life out like a prince.
Well, I bet Walt Nauta is busily packing Donald Trump's go bag right now, trying to figure out how many things of Imodium and Aquanet he can fit into a gym bag. Like, and God, like, I got to get all this crap in there. Yeah.
Load this shit up with Adderall and makeup with bronzer, right? Like, let's get all this crap in there. Oh, we need to get the spray and the twirly for the piss cotton candy hair.
That's
and,
right.
Like, we need to... Everything, man. Everything.
There's a Buick parked in an airport parking lot with a go bag in the back, in the trunk, just waiting for Donald Trump to flee under an assumed name.
Exactly. He's exactly like Jason Bourne, except he's fatter, slower, dumber, less accomplished.
Okay. Jesus. All right, my friend. Where's your YouTube channel? Talk about that for a second. What's the latest?
Latest, we just had a huge video on it was John Fetterman basically calling Rand Paul a prick. And it turns out people really like that because Rand Paul was trying to hold up the Ukraine bill. We're at about 140,000 views. I mean, things are going really well. We're moving past 34,000, hopefully to 35,000 subscribers. And it's only been around 17 months now, 16.
Oh,
so
great.
We're moving up. I'm loving it. I'm doing more and more segments. Going to try to go from one to two a day, maybe eventually three. I may add a live streaming option in the near future on Fridays where I will force my friend Bob Seska short. Like, I'm not going to do long form again, but even if it's 10 to 15 minutes, somebody to come on and do like a 3 to 5 question format of like boom, boom, boom.
I'd love to.
So we got a lot going on. We're rebranding. Like, I'm loving it. I love doing it. And if people notice, and I know Bob would notice because I've sent you some of them, like everything has clips from songs, movies. You know, like I get my pop culture stuff in there, comedies, action movies, TV shows, you know, it could be Breaking Bad, it could be the movie Air. I got something in there the other day about Trump's sneakers, you know, like I find it. And so there's little Easter eggs in there and I'm having the best time. So
that's so great.
Come watch. That's part of what I do. Obviously, the thrust of these things is ripping the shit out of really bad people known as Republicans and right wingers and whatever. And you can catch it at C Schechter. So C is in Cliff and then S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. Please come by, subscribe. We're going to end up having probably at least 2 to 3 clips from this show because Bob has been so kind as to allow us to do video.
That's right.
We'll end up on my channel.
Perfect.
So come by, subscribe.
Okay, I got a link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Also, anywhere you get your podcasts. Great talk, my friend.
All right, take care, bud.
Bye-bye.